Welcome to the Playing It Safe with the Prescription Playbook, a segment of the What's the Mood podcast, where we talk all things safe use, safe storage, and safe disposal. I'm your host, Abby Lee, and today we are excited to be welcoming Rick Bielski, who is the Business Development Manager with Verde Technologies, the creator of DeTerra Drug Deactivation and Disposal System. All right, Rick, thank you so much for being here with me today. We're super excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Abby, and thank you for a great introduction.
Yes, you're so welcome. So let's just jump right in. Talk to us about DeTerra. Why are DeTerra pouches such an important tool specifically for our communities?
Good question. I like that one being first, because especially with drug take back days coming up, a lot of people think that we're against drug take back days or against the drop boxes because we're just an alternative when you look at it. When you look at our product at right now during this crisis of the opioid epidemic, we need to throw everything in the kitchen sink at it. So as we know from everything, 6 to 7% of the population uses take-back days. So that leaves actually, you know, say 93% of populations not using them. So with us and our DeTerra pouch, you know, you can do it in the convenience of your own home. So with that said, the more we can get off the street, the better. Out of medicine cabinet is all for the good. So we are for drug take back days. We are for drop boxes. So anything we can do to complement that, we're all for it.
It sounds like you're super passionate about your role. Talk to me a little bit more about what got you invested in this line of work. Your job is so important, and I want to hear a little bit more about your experience and your past work.
That's because I always see you at drug take or at the RX summit and everything. So yeah, I am very passionate about it. I've had 21 years in the medical healthcare waste industry. So actually, I was one of the first ones that one of my health systems was the first one that was approached by the EPA regarding the hazardous waste regarding pharmaceuticals coming out. And they got hit pretty hard. And so that was a passion of mine of going after the hazardous pharmaceuticals, making sure they're disposed properly. Well, then a hospital system, I forgot where it was, I think it was actually in Peoria, Illinois, came up to me and said, Rick, what are we doing with the leftover prescriptions? Because they're getting in waterways and everything else. We got the hazardous ones taken care of. So what can we do now? So interesting enough, that's when I started looking into this and looking at the numbers. It's kind of sad because the general public doesn't have that much awareness of how many people have died from this. And when we look at last year alone, 108,000 people passed away from this. I mean, we're talking family, friends, and everybody. And when you look at 108,000 people, that's a football stadium every year. So that's really my passion about it. And then just looking at the overall numbers, when I was doing my research on companies that did something like this, that's when I came across DeTerra. And I said, they have the proven facts. They got the testing, the science behind everything. So that's really my passion, and it's a product that I believe in. So, and it's actually, you see it on my shirt, you see it on my coffee mugs and everywhere. So yeah, that's basically about it. And then the other thing with my job is I get to meet a lot of people, some great, some bad. I didn't think I'd hear the stories that I've heard. One of the stories is Becky Savage in South Bend, Indiana. She has the 525 Foundation, and it's called 525 for a reason. Those were her two sons' hockey numbers, and they both passed away in one night. So we hear a lot of one-offs. You know, I lost my son, and for like the work you're doing with the athletes and everything in Illinois, She lost a 17-year-old and 19-year-old in one night. And for a mother and father to go through that, and plus the siblings and relatives, that's a sad story. And I was just at a conference. I get to meet some cool people too, which one was Randy Grimes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was a center from 1983 to 1993. Well, Randy is in recovery because when he is a professional athlete, to stay on the field, he had to take pain medication. And it started off with just one pill a day. Then it went, and there's a video of him online, and he's just basically dumping the pill bottle in his hand and just taking him completely. Well, I got to meet Randy about 3 weeks ago, and actually gave me his business card with his cell phone number on it. So my passion comes from meeting people like that, of to learn and how to, put this off to the wayside. I know you're probably going to ask me what's the best thing or about your job or whatever. I'm going to tell you, hopefully someday I'm unemployed and I don't have a job, that we don't have to worry about this problem. But I don't think that's going to happen for quite a while, for at least 20 years.
We truly believe with the prescription playbook that safe disposal is a solution to hopefully ending this epidemic. So we stand firm in that. And hopefully one day, not that I don't want you to have a job, but I hope that we don't have to really focus on this too much more as we kind of progress and bring opportunities and resources in like Doterra. It's so important to have resources, to have tools to be able to safely dispose of these medications when we no longer need them. Having a tool ready to go is the most important thing. And I think in some of our more rural areas, if you think of some of the more rural areas where transportation can be an issue, having a Doterra pouch right there at your home, ready for you to dispose is a great way, to make sure that you're not potentially misusing or diverting that medication unintentionally or intentionally. And so we firmly believe that safe disposal is a solution. So.
You just said something interesting. The rural areas, and all my reading that I do and research, it's interesting that rural communities are actually prescribed 83% more than metropolitan areas. So that was news to me yesterday. I didn't realize that. So in rural communities, especially where I live, it's, and I saw it firsthand. We all have Casey's stores, and it was about 5 years ago. There's a farmer in there. They're always in there resolving the world's problem in the morning, but one asked the other one for some pain medications because he hurt his back. So I didn't even think about it at the time, because it's before I got into this, and I probably at the time might have done the same thing.
It really comes down to education and awareness, right? It's educating people,
Got it.
making them aware of the issue, and then they can make good decisions for themselves. So I agree. I mean, it's something you think about before you had this education or before you knew this information. How can you make a good choice, right? And so that's why it's so important to keep spreading this information, get this information to as many people as possible. So we
You're
started to talk about safe disposal a little bit. And as we talk about safe disposal, we've heard many people who have said things like, "Thank you, but I've chosen to flush my medications," or, "I just throw them away in your household garbage." I'm really curious for you to share with our listeners why Doterra pouches are a better option for safe disposal than just flushing them or just throwing them away.
okay, when you look at it, you want to divert the waste right away. It kind of, when we hear from the FDA, they say use coffee grinds and kitty litter. Okay. If I'm with hospice and a loved one passes away and I put them in coffee grinds, number one, anyone could go in that garbage and get them and take them and extract them right from the coffee grinds without a problem. And same with kitty litter. So we want to get rid of the medications as soon as possible. And when you look at, say, our waterways too, when we look at our waterways, and I little reading again, our aquifers, and actually that's where we get our water from, where I live is an aquifer, 11% of them show contamination of pharmaceuticals in them. So it's getting in our drinking water. True, right now the research is showing, okay, it's minimal in our waterways, but the experts now are saying, hey, what's the future going to be of pharmaceutical in the water? I know Jason, our CEO, tells a good story about a lake up north, Minnesota, about there's no boats on this lake or anything. Well, it tested positive for active pharmaceuticals in that water. So how did it get there? Did it leach out of a landfill and keep going? And that's one thing with our product we're proud of, because it was 5 years ago, people were saying, hey, you're throwing plastic in the landfill with the pouch. And well, we had to step up and do something. So right now, our pouch is made out of 53% sugarcane. So it will decompose a lot quicker in the landfill. We actually do have I'm Green on the front pouch now that we're able to put in. So when we look at what we're doing, you know, we're trying to do everything possibly we can for the environment. It's the reason you can see behind me, we got the SEAL Award for Innovative Product of the Year for sustainability. So that we're pretty proud of that, just because I'm Green. So we're good with the environment on our product.
Yes, congratulations on that. Some
Thank you.
really big award to be given. And that's a huge component of it, right? Is talking about the environment. Safe disposal is not only just protecting us and protecting our loved ones, but it's also protecting our environment, the waterways, the animals that are out there. And so it's so important. I see here you have fish don't want your medications. And it's so true, right? We don't want it in our water systems so that we're consuming it. But when you think from an environmental standpoint, you're also considering, right, like the wildlife and the just the general environment, and making sure that it's a better place for not only for us now, but also for the people who are living here in the future.
And I think that's funny, whether your fish don't want your meds, that's going to be a campaign that's being done out of Missouri. So it's they're going with it. I think it's kind of neat. You can visually see it. A
Yeah.
fish doesn't want your meds. So that was kind of nice for the environment to see.
Yeah, I think that's great. Like I said, safe disposal, it's so important, right? To just talk about how it's keeping our environment safe, and then it's also keeping us as individuals and keeping our loved ones safe as well.
Correct. I
So
mean, if you can divert the waste, and when you look at diversion of waste and get it destroyed as soon as possible, is very important. When you look at, like I said, I was in the healthcare waste industry, and come find out 13% of healthcare workers have some type of addiction. So when you look at that, that's a high number. Now, how many have addiction to gambling? Maybe that could be thrown in there. I'm not sure. But when you look at the numbers and hear some of these stories where a nurse out in Pennsylvania one time, the anesthesiologist was squirting his propofol into coffee grinds, and she knew it. She had an addiction, and she took the coffee grinds home with her. Well, the coroner stated she might have had two sips of coffee before she hit the ground. So it's very important, even in the healthcare arena, we gotta control and divert that waste as soon as possible.
so important, so important. And reducing access, that's really what we're talking about here, is reducing access to people who shouldn't have access to things, or
Exactly.
reducing access from, animals and things like that. So that's great. So how do you see Deterra impacting the safety of our society, both now but also in the future?
Well, this is where it really comes down to education. First of all, we have to educate prescribers. How much are they prescribing? I had some dental work done about 6 months ago. I don't take pain medication. I just never have. Some of us have high pain threshold. Well, this dentist, she consistent. Oh, you have to take it. You have to take it. And I was like, no, I don't have, I don't need it. I don't want it. Well, then she said, well, maybe I can give you ibuprofen. I'm like, no, I don't need it. And I couldn't talk because I had gauze in my mouth. But long story short, I didn't take the prescription. And but when I went back, I did kind of, that's when I taught her what I do for a living. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. So it's, we have to start there. And actually, right before this call, I received a news release from Northwestern University in Chicago about how they're going around and educating patients now of proper medication, how much they need. And it came across where they're 3.5% ask for fewer refills. Doesn't seem like a lot. But in this article, it states that last year, 250 million opioid prescriptions per year. 250 million. So if they drop it by 3.5%, that's 8.75 prescriptions every year, which would be eliminated. So it really comes to that. And then they also have to have the education of proper safe storage. We're for that, but then disposal. So if Abby goes to Walgreens and gets a prescription, hopefully they educate you of what you're getting, and then they teach you how to store it so no one can get into it, and then basically how to get rid of it. They have drop boxes, or they could hand you a Deterra pouch. Now, we did have a JAMA study done on us, so which basically says that if people are given a Deterra pouch, they're four times more likely to use it, which is big. So when it comes down to it, we have to look at it that we have to change the behavior of society. And one of the scenarios I always give, I kind of like it, shows my age, but when I went to get my driver's test license when I was 16, I got in the car and I took off. I did not put a seatbelt on whatsoever, neither did the instructor. Where I look at today, time has changed, legislation passed laws, states have passed laws saying you must wear your seatbelt. So if you look at it, that was 30 years ago that those laws went into effect and they change. So my mind changed. Now, every time I get into a car, I put my seatbelt on, not even thinking about it. So wouldn't it be a great thing in 20 years for everybody to say, oh, I got leftover medications. I have to dispose of them properly. That would be an ultimate goal.
It shows you right there that education and awareness, it truly works. It might take a few years, but it really works.
Exactly.
What do you think is potentially the greatest threat to safe disposal when we look at it as a whole?
A threat. That's a tough one. I would just say the change with everything. The threat. Are people willing to change? It's hard. And talked about it where we have to get change from the top down. The president has to jump on board and talk about it nonstop. I know he's busy doing other things, but when mentioned before, 108,000 people passed away, that's a plane a day going down. We don't talk, when a plane crashes, it makes the national news. Well, we kind of have a plane crashing every day now in the United States. So why aren't we at the forefront teaching everybody this? And even us for a product line, our marketing team does a fantastic job, I think. And the one of the problems is, can we reach everybody with it? And the answer is no. Now, my close circle of friends, they all know what I do. My family knows what I do, but does the general public know about safe disposal? So that's where we really need the help from state Congress, from Senate, from the state governors, from the attorney general's office, and everything like that, and to get them on board to do something. And I kind of told you this before the call, you know, where I live regarding a stoplight. We're trying to get a stoplight in our town on Highway 39 because there's been probably about six fatalities over the last 10 years. But the state has refused to jump in and say, hey, we cannot put a stoplight in there because it's going to interfere with the flow of traffic. So what's more important, the flow of traffic or someone's life? And that's the way I look at this. We need the help from everybody to get this under control.
Completely agree with that. It takes an entire village, right? Is what they say. But in this
I like
aspect, it takes
that.
a full country. It takes all of us to really put the effort in, and educate each other, bring awareness to this topic, and really take it seriously. Because, like you said, we lost over 100,000 people last year to this epidemic. We have to do something.
Yeah, and that's what gets me. It's, I mean, just when we talk about that, I mean, just think about a plane every day with 300 people on. It's kind of like this. We've been talking now for, I don't know, 24 minutes, let's say. How many people did we leave lose just now? We just
Right.
lost over six, seven people just now in us talking. So, and when I talk to junior high and high school or middle school and high school, see, I showed my age about this, and I'm talking to them for 12 minutes. And when you put it in reality, saying, you know, we just lost three to four people in the time we're just talking. I mean, that's hard to imagine, but it's reality.
No, it absolutely is reality. And that's why you and I are doing the work that we're doing, right? That's why this work is so important. It's so meaningful. And it's just really vital. This education and awareness component is really the driver behind stopping this epidemic. And if we can get this information out to people and they have these tools to make the good decisions that they can make, it really can keep them on track and really get them to reach the dreams and goals they have set out for themselves. Because everybody has a dream and a goal. And really what you want to do is make sure people are able to make good choices, keep themselves safe, and reach their dreams and goals. So as we wrap up here, I'm really curious, what has been the most impactful or most important part of this job for you?
I would say kind of like what you just talked about, awareness. I mean, teaching the individuals, you know, what we do and who we are, mainly not who we are. I mean, what our product is, of course, but the most we can get out there and make awareness the biggest thing in education is what it comes down to. We need to get, you said it, we got to come together as a village on this. And fully educate is what it comes down to. And I truly believe, I can remember when the CDC first started coming out with numbers, they started off at the age of, you know, 15 to 18 or 15 to 19. It might have even been 18 to 25, but then they went back to 18, then they went to 15. I think we need to start educating at the age of 8. I mean, 6, 8, 12. I don't, it needs to be further back. And the further back we can do so, if you look at it, they learn their colors, they learn how to write the ABCs, they learn how to properly dispose of medications, or don't even ask for them if they don't need them, is
Yes,
something that could be
absolutely.
done.
Planting the seed as early as we possibly can, and also being a good example, as a parent, right? You practicing safe disposal, your kids are observing that. So if you make, safe decisions when it comes to prescription medications, they're observing that. And then you are teaching and ingraining in them that they should also make good decisions, practice safe disposal when they need to. But be a good example. That's one of the best ways I think parents can just start to ingrain some of this information, especially at a young age. But speaking of age appropriate, right? This information can be taught to young kids. It just has to be age appropriate. There's a way to do it. And it's important that we start doing that and not be scared to do so, because this important or this information is saving lives.
Well, I mean, you made a point there. One of the things is doing the research and everything. People that are on heroin, three out of four of them state that they started in the medicine cabinet.
80%. And that's
Yeah.
true among adolescents. It's 75%. 75% of adolescents who are using heroin started with prescription medications, and 80% of all heroin users started with prescription medications.
See, and that's sad. Because if you look at it, in our small town, we lost a girl 2 years ago, and her parents actually had to move out of town because it was so bad. But if you, and then you look at it, and I was on a call with the Attorney General's office task force one day, and one of them said, Rick, you're not going to stop it here because 84% of our drugs are fentanyl laced. I said, exactly. I'm not going to stop that. But what I need to stop is the 12-year-old experimenting, going into the medicine cabinet, and then he likes it, Then he's in high school. He gets a football injury. Now he's going to be giving some strong pain medication, some opioids. And then who knows where it goes from there? He might go off to college. An overdose might happen with fentanyl because now he's struggling to get the prescription drugs. He doesn't have hands on them from going to his grandmother's house and stealing them or his friend's house from stealing them. Now he has to go on the street and get the medication. And that's where the overdoses come from with the fentanyl. So they agreed with me on that one.
Yeah, let's reduce access as early as we can. Reducing access, that's really what we're looking at here when we talk about safe disposal is I always tell parents we have liquor cabinets that are locked up. Our medicine cabinets should also be locked up. And when we no longer need those medications, we need to dispose of them. That's reducing access. That's what we're looking for, right?
Well, it's interesting you said that because with Becky Savage with the 525 Foundation, when I was talking to her one day, she goes, "You know what, Rick? I taught my kids about smoking, about drinking, about being safe around fire. I did everything. The one thing I did not do was talk about prescription medication." So right there, she's a living story about it all, that how important it would have been for her two sons to learn about prescription medications.
And how important it could have been for them to have that, have their mom's, voice in the back of their brain reminding them of the information that she shared with them when it comes to prescription safety. So you're very right. It all goes back to the education and awareness. So, Rick, if there's one thing that you can share with our listeners, one thing that you would like them to know about doTERRA pouches, what is it?
Well, let's just do it right now. Since it is October and Drug Take Back Day is coming up, okay, one thing we're doing is we are giving away free doTERRA pouches to any household that wants them. So actually, you can go to our website, which is doTERRAsystem.com, and it's not a publicity stunt on us. We don't do it for marketing purposes, but actually, it's in partnership with Safe Project, which is run by Admiral Winnefeld. And Admiral Winnefeld started this, him and his wife, because they lost a son to an overdose. So basically, every October, we do this for the communities at no charge, and we mail one out to their homes so you can get a free pouch. And ever since we started this, we have mailed out 100,000 pouches, which basically it equates to 9 million pills we took off the street.
That's amazing.
So that's, I mean, since it's October. Now, if we're talking in November, I'd tell you something else, but I
That's
want
perfect.
everybody listening to go to doTERRAsystem.com or safeproject.us, and you can get a free doTERRA pouch.
Yes, I really encourage all of our listeners to take advantage of getting your free doTERRA pouch. As Rick said, you can visit doTERRAsystem.com, and you'll see lots of information there, just more about doTERRA specifically, more about some of the technology that goes into the pouch. But also, you can go ahead and retrieve your free doTERRA pouch that way as well. And then going forward, if you ever need extra doTERRA pouches or you're interested in learning more, you can always reach out to me, Abby, and my email would be rxplaybook@ilhpp.org. And we'd be more than happy to get you set up with some doTERRA pouches or connect you back to Rick or doTERRA Systems. Rick, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your passion, the work that you're doing. You're truly making a difference, and we love being supporters of doTERRA. We truly think that it's making a difference in our communities, it's protecting our environments, and ultimately, it's really helping protect our loved ones. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Abby. Enjoyed it.